While European regulators wrestle with glyphosate, here in the U.S., regulators are assessing atrazine, which is made by Syngenta. Atrazine is already banned in Europe, though it is the number two weed killer in the U.S., and the EPA recently found the accumulation of atrazine in birds, fish, and mammals at concerning levels of toxicity. The EPA has yet to release its human health assessment, and there is now a comment period before its final report on the wildlife impacts of atrazine. One of its most controversial uses involves plantation forestry, where it is sometimes sprayed in combination with 2,4-D, another potent herbicide, to promote the monoculture of evergreens on timberland that has been clear-cut. Much of this spraying has happened in Oregon, where Lisa Arkin of the group Beyond Toxics is based, and she joins us now. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for having me on the show.
How is atrazine used out in the environment?
Well, here in Oregon, atrazine is used by loading up a helicopter with a chemical soup and then spraying that from a machine with a rotating blade. So you're very much dispersing this out into the environment and blanketing your ecosystem with it. Of course, in farming, it would be sprayed by crop dusters or by tractors with booms on them.
What effects from atrazine have been documented in ecosystems already?
Atrazine has been shown to be very biopersistent in the environment. So because it maintains its toxicity, it's posing a chronic risk to fish, to amphibians, and other vertebrates, including mammals. And as its concentrations get built up in the environment, it's considered to adversely impact the reproductive function of these living organisms. And that is a major concern because if reproduction is disrupted, then you aren't going to have the continuation of a species. Atrazine is an endocrine disruptor that can actually chemically castrate amphibians and reptiles. We're not even sure just how much it could impact the reproductive system of a mammal, but it causes frogs and reptiles to be unable to procreate.
How do humans get exposed to atrazine? Of course, obviously, if it's being sprayed from a helicopter overhead, that's kind of obvious, but otherwise?
Atrazine is showing up in our drinking water. You might be aware that there was a multi-million dollar lawsuit that was recently settled with Syngenta, the maker of atrazine, because atrazine was found in the finished drinking water of over 100 cities in the United States. So we can be exposed by drinking water that we believe is safe to consume. And of course, if that water is being consumed by a pregnant woman or a toddler or even an adolescent whose reproductive system is in the process of changing, that could cause significant adverse impacts for that individual. Atrazine has been associated with some reproductive anomalies such as hypospadias, where the penis is malformed, and another birth defect where the intestines are on the outside of the body instead of within the abdominal cavity.
So if the forestry industry wanted to stop using atrazine for their Douglas fir forests, what would be, in your view, the more ecologically responsible way to do this?
If we had selective harvesting, if we had biodiverse forests rather than a monocrop, if we made sure that we were protecting drinking water, aquatic habitats for fish, and wildlife habitat, if those were our priorities, in addition to supporting a healthy forest economy, we could accomplish all of that without the use of atrazine.
So let's say that the EPA decides, you know what, atrazine really isn't particularly safe in the way that it's being used right now. It should either be banned or severely restricted. What will be the long-term effects of that?
First of all, there are other alternatives that are less harmful if you got to use a chemical. And second of all, there are non-chemical alternatives. And I believe that's where we really have to focus. In Oregon, the chunk of economic benefit from organic farming is growing rapidly each and every year. If you're talking about the economy and the effects of taking atrazine off the market for the agricultural economy, I think we won't see any effect at all.
You're an environmental justice organization. Why is atrazine a matter of environmental justice in your view?
Atrazine and other pesticides definitely are an environmental justice issue because the people who bear the greatest burden to their exposures are usually communities that are low income or people of color, and the workers who are assigned the jobs of spraying these chemicals. We find here in Oregon that often it is minority workers, so we're talking Latino or Asian workers that are asked to spray these are told to spray these chemicals and are not even required to have a license. Also, the communities that live the closest to agricultural fields or the forests that are used for industrial purposes to produce Douglas fir and where atrazine is sprayed by helicopter are often not only lower income communities and working class communities, they are people who have less access to political decision makers. They're the ones who are most impacted, but they are the ones whose voices are least heard.
Lisa Arkin is executive director of Beyond Toxics, based in Eugene, Oregon. Lisa, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.